tomorrow?
10 o'clock.
Are we still having breakfast at 7:30?
I didn't make any date with you for 7:30. There's going to be a buffet, but it's not going to, you don't have to be there at 7:30, it's going to be there.
Oh, here.
Folks, this is a true thing that happened. It may seem like a joke when it's over, but this actually happened. Michael Pezzola, when he initiates energy people and qualifies them for energy, has a little exercise they go through, and I won't give it away. I'll let Michael tell you precisely what it is, and you'll follow it in action.
Okay, we've done enough hard work for today. We thought that between this and Jimmy telling some of his fantastic stories, we'll give you a little break. Decided that we've taken enough abuse in New York from the sheet players and the speed boys and all the rest of the wise fellows that it was time for a little revenge. So we have a little initiation procedure that we go through with the energy group in New York. Now, for those of you who've just gotten the program and want to be part of the study group, well, this is what you're going to have to do. Belmont is a very late-paced track, as you know. 68 and change is usually what it runs. What you have to do to become part of the energy group is find at least one on a racing card, at least one favorite who runs about 70% median. You know what those horses do at Belmont? They collapse. That's right. They run for about four furlongs, and then they collapse. Now, the speed boys are all over these horses. They're usually 8 to 5, 6 to 5. Those are the races that really collect up. So in order for you to get into the energy group, number one, you have to find one of these situations. And then number two, you got to go out to the track, to Belmont. You've got to do it in front of the rest of the energy group. You've got to find a monitor around which these wise guys with the sheets congregate. I know where they are in the clubhouse. Okay. And then, Stephen, Michael? Steve, will you stand by this monitor? Okay. So then one of us stands by the monitor with our peso meter. And then the fellow being initiated takes the laser ray gun. We show the laser ray gun, Michael, with Michael's shirt. And on command from the energy group leader, when the horse hits the second call, like Pop John did at 44 and 4, we'd say, now, get him. Okay. Now, what happens usually when they do this is the horse starts collapsing. I want their minds, not just their money. I hope and pray for the day where one of these guys goes over to one of the Pinkertons and says, hey, wait, they just shot my horse. Now, wait. So the Pinkerton, you know, they're very cool in New York. So, well, with a gun? Did they shot at the horse? No, not with a gun, with a laser ray gun. A laser ray gun. They shot right at the horse? No, they shot the ray gun at the television set and my horse collapsed. I want to see that guy taken away in a huggy suit with his sheets in his hands. So for those of you who want to be part of the energy group in New York, you've got a little initiation to go through. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Michael, for that demonstration.
And you thought Michael was all a bunch of boring numbers, didn't you? The guy that people say that, you know, some people are just like each other and he's your spitting image of you. The guy that I'm most like in all of Perco is Jim Bradshaw. We both talk funny. He talks different kind of funny than I do. Everybody, first thing they say about us, those two guys are like two peas in a pod. They both talk funny. And Jimmy puts on an act of being dumb, and I put on an act of being smart, so it's about the same difference. But Jimmy's always been my right-hand man, and Jimmy can set a lot of folks straight. Because when you talk funny and call people dirty names, they don't seem to mind it. And Jimmy's got a few little comments that he thinks might help you along the road of life. Jimmy Bradshaw.
You know, for Howard to say that about an Okie is something. Okies used to chase him home from school when he's a kid. And for him to say that, I'd really appreciate it. But I told Howard, I said, hey, listen, I'm not a real true Okie. I was born in the hills of Oklahoma, so far back they had to pipe daylight in. But, you know, I'm a hill boy, not a hillbilly. That guy in the paper today, I mean, that ran that Clever Trevor, in the paper in Tulsa, came out, he said, they think I'm a hick from the sticks. Well, take it from me, he is. You know, he's really got a hearty little horse. The horse has really got a lot of horse. The horse got more sense than he's got. You know, a horse ran part of the way, and he said, I don't want any more easy goer, and he's smart enough to quit. You know, I don't know whether anybody knew it or not, but the hills of Oklahoma where I came from, now Tulsa's a pretty sophisticated city, but the hill country, it ain't too sophisticated. You know, we wear Levi's and drive pickup trucks. You pull up in a car in the bars in the town I came from, down around Salisaw, people come out and admire your car. Say, hey, look, it's there. You know, they think they're seeing something funny. And Levi's, yeah, they're the style of dress. But, you know, when I go places, they don't like me to wear Levi's. And I don't understand why. They're easy to take care of. They're easy to pack. You can wear them and they don't show dirt. You can spill things on them. And, you know, they still look good. I said, how do you know when they get dirty? I said, well, when I pull them off at night, if they stand up by themselves, it's time for me to change Levi's. But, you know, we went into Arlington Park, and it's hot as blazes. I mean, it's hot. And this guy had give us seats. We get in the clubhouse, all right, yeah, I got my Levi's on. And said, well, hey, the box is outside. I get in the clubhouse, I got my Levi's on, I'm upstairs walking around on that plush carpet. We start to walk outside. They said, hey, you can't go out there. I said, why? They said, you got Levi's on. You know, can't go outside. Learn. You know, you can't even get inside in Oklahoma. If Michael came down to Oklahoma with his three-breasted suit on, his neck tie, they either think he's this way or going to hang him.
Oh, how convenient. He's a red wearer in the room.
Yeah. I know I've come a long way since I've been with the methodology. I've really come a long ways. Howard even said I'm a little bit cocky. Yeah, I'm cocky. And I probably wasn't at a time because I know I've been a source of embarrassment to Howard. You know, he's gone along with it. He's humored me. And I know I've embarrassed him. We went in this French cafe down in New Orleans one time. They read the menu off. You know, my dad, when I was a kid, he told me, he says, son, he said, don't eat anything you can't pronounce. God, you know, that limited me to very few things I could eat. So this guy, he came over and he started rattling off in French and got down and said, filet mignon. I said, what's that? He said, that's a steak. I said, yeah, that's what I want. You know, I can pronounce steak. So he writes it down. He said, well, how do you want it cooked? I said, well, chicken fried. Well, you know, this like to got the best of Harris. But, you know, he went along, he said, Jimmy said, don't order gravy with it, too. You know, I really, really have a good time. When you've been back in the hills as far as I've been, you know, it's good to get out of Oklahoma. Even if you get in New York and can't get out of the building, you think you're in jail all the time. Hey, they even had a wedding out there in the hallway today. Inside wedding. Bert Main is out there listening to that other preacher preach that ceremony so he'd see if he could learn something. But, you know, it's really, really nice to be up here. And not only, you know, when I come on these trips, this time I brought my wife Leroy, but I always bring my friend Jack. And, you know, friend Jack gets a little best on me sometimes. You know, I'm talking about Jack Daniels. And he keeps me up pretty late. And that's when I really, really get cocky, when I get a little Jack in me. You know, we're fighting and struggling around, tussling. And I get a little cocky. Somebody asked about the sixth race today that Houston was in last night. I said, Houston will win that race. They said, no. I said, Houston's got bone chip. I said, really? I mean, I don't even know whether the veterinarian knows that or not. They must have been floating bone chips because he sure ran a good race today. How do I know that? The matchup. That's what I do. I do the matchup. What is the matchup? That's been called everywhere from voodoo to eyeball. And I thought it was trip handicapping. You know, going to take a trip around the track. Till I got this friend, this guy I know sends me a videotape. Bonnie Ledbetter and Paul Mellis. God darn, I didn't know so much happened in a race till I listened to old Paul Mellis on Trip Handicap, and I said, that ain't what I do. Because I didn't know all that happened. You know, I don't approve of making copies of copyrighted material or anything like this, but a judge sent it to me. So I said, shoot, if he can do it, I can too. So I made a couple of copies for my friends. And they came over to watch it at the house first. We watched this, and this is Paul Miller. Man, they were really excited. They said, Brad Jones said, maybe that'll really... said, you can't go to the track with us all the time. Said, maybe that'll really, really help us. I said, well, I don't know, you know. It might. Said, well, let's go test it out. Let's go find... I got a friend, his name's Jonesy. Well, Jonesy's a little overweight. Now, that's putting it mildly. When I first met him, I thought he was Siamese twins. But Jonesy, he's watching Bonnie Ledbetter. I mean, he's really watching Bonnie Ledbetter. And he's taking notes down, and he's going to make a sheet. This other buddy, he's watching Paul Mellis. And they're making all kind of notes. So they take the tape, they take them home, and they study them, and they get a mimeograph sheet. One on trip handicapping, one on... Bonnie Ledbetter's horse, bless her soul. So we go to Remington Park. We go early so they can go in and watch the films. They got a library there where you can check out films of past races. So they're going to do it. So the paddock, Jonesy's got to go out to the paddock to watch these horses, and we're up on the third floor. So Jonesy has to run all the way down the stairs, look at the horses, come back up. Now, the first race is a maiden race. And we pass it. Charlie's still in watching some of the back films. He hadn't seen them all. We get there early, but he hadn't seen them. So I go ahead and play the second race. Hit the second race. Third race, maiden race, pass it. Fourth race, we're set. Well, Jonesy gets his binoculars and he runs down to the stairs to the paddock and he takes his notes. Charlie, they came out, compare notes and they come to me. He said, who's going to win this race on the matchup? I said, number two horse. I said, we can't bet the number two horse. I said, why? I said, well, he's a little bit lame. that he's walking kind of sideways. He ain't got his ears up. He's a little fractious. Said, think he might even have kidney sweat. Charlie said, well, yeah, and he had a good trip last time. He didn't do anything, so he ain't going to do anything today. I said, okay, we'll pass the race. Here comes old number two. He wins the race. Well, here's Jonesy run back down the stairs for the fourth race. Get that, come back up, we'll go through the same thing. Said, who you got? Said, I got the number five horse. He said, man, said, that is a standout horse. Said, that's a standout horse. Said, he's got everything going for him. He should win by 15 lengths, Charlie says. Said, he's got 15 lengths. Now, 15 lengths. You know, he was beaten. Now, he's supposed to beat these horses 15 lengths. I said, well, okay. We bet him. He runs second. We do this three or four races. We hit one. Some of them we can't bet because something's wrong with them. But then it's about the seventh or eighth race, and Jonesy, he's complete puckered out. You know, so I bet to go ahead and bet the seventh race. I'm waiting on Jonesy. Come up the eighth race, Jonesy's not there. I bet the eighth race, pretty soon Jonesy came up. I said, what's the matter? He said, I quit. I said, why? He said, well, you know, every one of those horses look like they're crippled to me. And he said, you can have the dang tape back. And Charlie said, they ain't a lot to what Paul Mellis says either. He said, those horses are supposed to win by 14, 15 lengths next time out. He said, they were still 14, 15 lengths back. Now, I get a lot of calls. I've got Dial-A-Hat Hotline. And one call that really, really irritates me. They say, I'm not doing too good. I can't make synergism work, or I can't make energy work, or I can't make phase three work. I cannot make it work. I said, well, you haven't got the contenders. Yep, I got the contenders. Now, that's one thing I got. I got those contenders. I said, I've always got that contender in the computer. Last night, I heard all kind of things that people said that if they could solve that one problem, said it'll make me a winner. I heard everything mentioned from daily variant to pace line selection. Not one person was brave enough to stand up and said, I cannot get the true contenders in a race. Ladies and gentlemen, that is your problem. Once you face it and say, I cannot get the contenders, I need help selecting contenders, not that you put it in the computer, then you will win. You've been given so many guidelines, so many tools on selecting contenders. They work. It's much easier to say, well, the method is failing, I am not failing, than to face up to the fact and be honest with yourself, said, hey, I have trouble with contenders. In my opinion, there are only three horses that have a shot at winning a race. The methodology says use five horses if you intend to play exotics. Your APV tells you the horses. I have found races that people have sent me. If they get the true contenders, they put these contenders in. There's three or four pace lines that will pick that horse up. It's not distance changes. It's not adjustments. It's not track variant.
that's causing you to fail, it's picking the true contenders in a race. I mean the horses that can win the race. How do you do this? With these tools that you've been given and the matchup. The matchup matches the horses against each other. I do not pick pace lines. I pick horses. Now think of that a minute. If you ever looked at my racing form, you will not find a mark on my racing form. Why? Because any mark on that form causes my eye to go to that mark. I want to look at all of the past performance of that horse. What is he going to do today? I have played tracks all over the United States. Saratoga is no problem. Belmont is no problem. Santa Anita is no problem. I have no hang up. I hit 14 races in a row at Long Acres. And the guys that live up there were looking at the shoe board. I didn't even know what a shoe board was. I only missed the 15th because I wouldn't play it. Howard told me, Jimmy, you ought to miss one. So I just went up and played an exacta and missed the race. Why on the matchup? Is how I do it. I have people call me on the telephone. Now this is honest truth. Tell me, I've got this horse. I don't know what to do about this horse. I don't know what pace line to use on this horse. On the races that they're going to do that day. I said, give me the last pace line. Give me the next one. Give me three or four pace lines on the horse. Give me some of the other pace lines on the horse, on another horse. I said, throw the horse out. They said he might win. He might not win. Throw him out. To this day, I have not missed one. I don't like to do this. How do I do it? Howard has told you one of the exceptional ways to find a place to start. They gave statistics. Statistics doesn't mean an awful lot to me. But it was in the high percentage of horses that came out of the fastest race had the best shot of winning their next race. Hey, this is nationwide. It doesn't happen at Remington Park, Santa Anita, Belmont. Happens everywhere. This is nationwide. You know, that's a pretty good place to start. You know, Michael said on the PBS to stick pretty close to the last race. That's to get the contenders, people. That is not to pick winners. Howard Sarton and myself, we tested ourselves to see how many races we picked. Oh, by the way, people have asked me about Remington Surface. We did a test on the energy program for the first week that it opened for 7 days, wasn't it, Howard? 92%.
Next tape.